with Dan Malicki.
Welcome back to RSN Central. We'll get an update shortly with Johnny Ralph about that practice match at Princess Park between the Blues and the Bombers, but it's time to talk some harness racing with a couple of legends. Dan Malicki, first of all, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Gareth. Good afternoon to you. Very exciting time of the year for harness racing. It's the last weekend of summer, but the harness racing continues on as strong as it has been all the way through it.
And hello to you, Adam Hamilton.
Afternoon, guys. Can't wait to chat about two magnificent meetings. The second of three massive Menangle meetings coming up, of course. So Group 1's galore, four of them there on Saturday night, and a terrific Team Teal-themed trotting meeting at Melton, guys.
Yep, looking forward to it. This man might play, well, he will play a big part, as he always does on the big stage these days in harness racing, but especially on his home track there at Menangle. I speak of Luke McCarthy. Good afternoon to you, Luke. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. How are you, guys?
We'll ask about the superstar first of all, King of Swing. How has he trained on since, I thought, one of his career best efforts in that Hunter Cup last time?
Yeah, he's really good, Gareth. He's he's sort of come home and just had an easy week after the Hunter Cup, and then he's trained back up really nice for these heats of the Miracle Mile, and he's at the top of his game.
Luke, I thought when Gareth was going to say talk about the superstar first, I was actually thinking Cash and Flow. What's happened there? Like, he's gone from an unbeatable miler at Menangle to all of a sudden in doubt of maybe getting a start in a race where you would think he was a shoo-in for the last 12 months. Cash and Flow, he's obviously up against King of Swing, which makes it tough, but where's he at?
Oh, look, he probably should have never went to the Vic Cup, Danny. He was in that real purple patch and just keeping to the miles at Menangle, and that probably dented his confidence a little bit, and he had a break, and then he's worked back up, and then he was just a little bit off that last start, so he's had a bit of vet work done on him, and hopefully he can turn it around, but from barrier 10, it looks impossible.
Luke, onto the other sprint, given King of Swing really should be winning from where he's drawn in the Schweppes, but in the Allied Express, you've got about half the field here. You've decided to drive Ultra Orlando. Was it a tough call over some of the others, probably most notably Mark Shard, drawn barrier one first up for the team?
Yeah, a little bit. Mark Shard settled in really good, and he's always had a good record, and he's worked super. But I think Ultra Orlando's, he's sort of got right back to his best form. He just had a couple of little setbacks, and we got on top of them, and come out, won the Golden Cup, and then run a good second in the Hunter Cup. So, I don't think his form could be any better, and give him a massive chance.
Just on that, I'm tipping Mark Shard there on Saturday night, Luke. I just think if he returns to his best, he'll be hard to beat from barrier number one. What's your speed map in that race? There's a ton of gate speed, but he can get out on his night, Mark Shard.
Yeah, I think he seems quick. It's sort of hard to line that form up at Menangle. The gate speed's sometimes a bit different, but look, turn it up so quick out, as everyone knows, and then whether Shane wants to give him another opportunity in front, if he's got him back to his best or not. But either way, Max Shard's going to get a good trip right on the pace.
Luke, just looking at the market for the Miracle Mile. You've got Expensive Ego in there, King of Swing, and who knows, you could end up with another one there as well. I've mentioned sort of in the last couple of years, apart from the top two or three obvious ones, the field can fall away. Is it a year where one of the mares can get in? I mean, they're a pretty even bunch of mares, and you've got a few of them going around in the Ladyship Mile. Would be that one of yours, if it did win, be a chance, a better enforce? Would you allow her to go to a Miracle Mile if she got there, if she won on Saturday night?
Oh, for sure, Danny. Look, we were a touch disappointed with her last week, but we think we've got her right back on top of the game this week. I'd say if one of those high-profile mares, Stylish Memphis, Better Enforce, Majida, one of them win the Ladyship Mile, they'd be all happy to go to the Miracle Mile. So you'd imagine one of them mares will end up in the Miracle Mile.
One of the upsides of Kate Gath making the big call to stay at Melton was it open up the drive on Tough Tilly, which you've picked up that drive. Now, she wasn't overly impressive winning what was a ho-hum sort of Oaks heat last week, but no doubt you've seen a lot of her and you must be thrilled to get a drive on her, even though she is drawn wide in this Oaks final.
Yeah, well, she's all class, Adam, and I'd spoken to Juddy, you know, a few weeks ago about driving her if, you know, Kate couldn't come up because of COVID, so, you know, it looked like I was getting a drive early, and then, of course, Kate's a regular driver, so she come, but with Kate's commitments in Melbourne this week, I'm thrilled to have the drive, and I think she's a massive chance.
All right then, mate, who's your best chance there on Saturday night? You got so many wonderful drives. Obviously, King of Swing.
Oh, for King of Swing for sure. He's spot on. Come up with a good draw, and you know, looks really hard to beat.
All right, mate. Outside of King of Swing, he's $1.10.
Oh, I think Better and Fourth is going to bounce back to a best this week.
All right, mate. Love your work. Enjoy Saturday night, and it could be another big night for yourself in the sulky. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
There we go. Great to catch up with Luke McCarthy there. And Dan, he could be in for a big night. Like King of Swing, a win. Ultra Orlando, an each-way chance in that first of the group ones there, the Allied Express Logistics Sprint. If he thinks Better and Fourth can bounce back, obviously if she went like she did at Melton two starts back, she won't be far away. I think Tough Tilly, I think she'll be too tough and too classy there for the fillies on Saturday.
Yeah, look, I think you're right, but... I think all of the Emma Stewart runners, they all got the visitors draw though, didn't they, in the final there, barriers 9, 10, 11 and 12 and Beach Music slightly inside of those, 5 for Emma, so well done to them. Guys, just poses the question, this carnival for the Oaks and the Derby, it seems to have fitted in better for the Victorians. Victoria's got a very strong hand, obviously, in the Oaks, but particularly in the Derby heats. Now, they're only able to get heats of 9, 8, and 8. Without, I'm nowhere near an expert on New South Wales form, and you're probably best versed to answer this, Adam. But where are the Sydney? Where are the New South Wales 3-year-olds? Are they not good enough?
No, I think Dan, we're going through a transitional time as far as where the Oaks and Derby are located, because the Victorians have almost got, and this is a fact, it's not a criticism or whatever. The Victorians have got a monstrous advantage going into these Derbies and Oaks because we've just had major racing in the VicBred series and before that the Breeders' Crown. So, and these races are 2,400 metres. So think of the conditioning the best Victorians have had through those races as opposed to the New South Wales fillies and colts and geldings who've had to come up through races at Penrith and things like that. So it didn't surprise me the Victorians totally dominated and largely Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin last week. And I think the Victorians are going to be, you know, winning at least two of the Derby heats with Patch Beachstorm and Idyllic as well. Maybe Tasty Delight can win for New South Wales in the other one. But to me, it's all about the fact the Victorians have had infinitely better lead-up preparations for these races and conditioning than the New South Wales horses.
Matty Craven joins us now because Kimball's first up after his Group 1 victory in the VicBred late last year in that heat against Tasty Delight in the New South Wales Derby. Good afternoon to you, Matty. Thanks for your time.
Hey, how are you, Gareth? How's things? Adam? Dan?
Good, mate. First of all, I might ask about Kimball. Is he fit enough to win first up and defeat New South Wales' best 3-year-old in Tasty Delight?
Oh, I think, Gareth, you know, we went to New South Wales. He went up with Kowalski and Ellis a couple of weeks ago, and he was a little bit behind the eight ball when he left. He's had two little trials up there. He was a little bit flat in his trial on Wednesday, so we're a little bit cautious going into Saturday night. And saying that, though, his work this morning with Kowalski analysis is very sharp. So Sophia was much happier with him this morning. So hopefully just a few little trials have helped bring him up to speed. But just be cautious going into Saturday night that he's been a little bit behind the eight ball as well as October Row.
So how many get in from that heat? Would it be 3 or 4? Matty, obviously that's the aim, just to qualify, because he'll improve with the run.
Yeah, he'll definitely improve with the run. And I would imagine they'll run a field of 10 and two emergencies, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So that being the case, you know, you'll have to be top three and maybe the two fastest fourths or something like that. So, you know, he's going to have to run a good race to be even qualify. And the thing that he's probably got in his favour that he's got not too bad a draw and he's got good gate speed. And, Sophia can be positive on him and, you know, she can take it from there as to what she likes to do after that.
Must have been thrilled with Kowalski analysis last week. So, still so new to it all. Probably just wobbled a little bit under pressure, Matty, when they were blazing home that last quarter at the end of a scorching mile.
Oh, we've just been, you know, super wrapped with this little horse. It's been so exciting to see him progress through and, you know, he burnt the gate and then to still see him being a factor in the finish the other night was, you know, very, very pleasing for all involved. And I know Soap was super thrilled with his effort and he's come through the run really, really well. And, you know, he's just kept stepping up and you know, every time we've raised the bar, he's sort of, you know, he's just been thereabouts and continued to improve. And each week he's run a better mile and a better quarter or something like that. And, you know, it's a real test for him this week where he's drawn out wide. I think he comes into eight. You know, it's going to be a real test of, you know, how far he's come. But he's just got that wonderful gate speed that, you know, he can help put himself in a spot. And whether that, you know, from the wide draw he's able to get across or not, I'm not too sure. But you've seen last week, you know, they ran a super quarter off the gate and yet he'll still, you know, sort of factor in the finish. So if Soph does want to, you know, have a crack for the front, you know, she's got a green light for me to do so.
This is Greenlight on Gareth Hall, Dan Malecki, Adam Hamilton with you. Our special guest on the line is Matty Crave. And Matty, it's a big night for your stable. You've got feature race runners, of course, up there in Sydney at Menangle, and then your superstar mare, Pinkalars, goes around in the Trotting Grand Prix. How is she and how do you think that she's come back from that little injury layoff towards the back end of last year? And, of course, she returned in the Great Southern Star. How have you seen her form since then?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Gareth, like, she probably hasn't got back to the height maybe that she was, you know, when she was in such great form there, you know, through the Derby and the Oaks and the Bill Collins Mile. But in saying that, her times coming out of the Great Southern Star first up for 3 months, you know, were both the best in the heat and the final. So had she have drawn, you know, a good gate, maybe she could have been right in the finish. But you know, it hasn't been easy for her. And tonight, on Saturday night, you know, she draws a wide gate outside, you know, some good gate speed inside her. So she's going to find it pretty tough again. And, you know, that's all you can expect when you go into these races now. And she's going to have to be at her very best to be in the finish. But she's come through a run at Terrain well. And unfortunately, she made a little mistake early when she just battled to sort of find her rhythm and just jumped out of them on the corner at the start. And she made, you know, lost a lot of ground and made ground. And her times, you know, when she did make that ground, sort of really tiled, you know, in the finish where she just got a little bit tired in the fifth. But she still, you know, as a rule, went pretty good. So, knowing it's a tough task on Saturday night, but, you know, we're mindful that, you know, she's probably not quite as good as what she was back through the Derby and the Oaks.
Got a pretty exciting trotter in the first lot of muscle. Didn't beat, you know, the strongest field last week, but still did it well, Matty. Where's this horse at, and where do you expect he'll get to, this ex-Kiwi? He's a race one Saturday night.
Yeah, he's a lovely horse, Dan. You know, obviously, he's a Derby winner as a three-year-old in New Zealand. But he came here on a very good rating because he found life pretty tough as a four-year-old when he stepped up into open company. And, you know, he came here on a very easy rating, but he's just been, you know, a battle to get some continuity into his racing, and he's just had a few little sort of niggles where he's just had a cough or a cold or periods where, you know, we just haven't been able to race him as consistently as we like. And he wouldn't be able to place in the main race of the night had he have been able to sort of, you know, race continually and get some really good fitness under his belt. And we've backed him up within the week where I probably would have liked to have spaced his run maybe a bit more, but I just felt this race sort of looked pretty good on paper, so I put him in as a late nom. And I'm just hoping that, you know, if we can keep him on the straight and narrow, that, he'll be a very nice horse for stable come the spring and summer next season.
Well, that's exciting, Manny. We wish you the best of luck on Saturday. Thanks for your time here on RSN Central.
Thanks, guys.
There's Manny Craven there. Adam, your thoughts there at Tabcourt Park Menangle on Saturday night? Any standouts? I'm keen on Max Shard each way. I think $9 now is a ridiculous price. He was there, Adam. What about you, Dan? Your thoughts there at Menangle? You got any standouts?
I prefer to have your brain and Adam's brain picked at Menangle. I was really impressed with Majida last week, the fighting spirit she's had. We should know better. I mean, how long is it going to take for us to wake up that this mare is just a star? She just gets the job done. I often refer to I'd much prefer an ugly win than a pretty loss. And some of her wins, she just does it what she has to do, but she just keeps winning. So obviously her toughest test, but I think I want to be in her corner. I was shocked last week when she started the odds that she did, and obviously Emma's fillies in the Oaks, you would think that she's every chance to get a top four result. I think Tough Tilly wins, but Joanna's the horse that we can't underestimate. And Pat's Beachstorm, it'll be interesting to see how he measures up against Act Now. I think that's a terrific race, the first Derby heat.
And Adam, can you do me a favour? I want you, you've got a little pull there at the tab. I need you to put Stylish Memphis in the Miracle Mile market because I think she'll be winning on Saturday night. There's no price. I need a price.
Yeah. Well, look, she's still got to win to be any hope of getting in. But yeah, I'll get the boys to throw her into the market for you. 25-4, her last quarter, 4 and 5 wide around the home bend, Gareth. Pretty incredible last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, so staggering.
Interesting your thoughts on Max Shard. Look, I would have wanted a better push from Luke McCarthy, and to be honest, I would have wanted Luke driving it. No disrespect to his dad, John, but the fact Luke's gone with Altra Orlando, I originally liked Max Shard, but my confidence is dented. I'm pretty keen on Max Delight each way there. I reckon I've never seen a race with more gate speed in it than this Allied Express sprint. And if they go hard, I reckon Max Delight won't be used early at this stage of his campaign. And, you know, he's already a Group 1 winner at the track. I reckon he'll be storming home. I like him each way. And I'm with you. You've just mentioned Stylish Memphis. They just don't go better than what she did last week. I mean, when you look at that replay and see how far off Expensive Ego she was at the top of the straight and how close she got on the finishing line, she is airborne. She's going to be closer this week. And if she reproduces last week, I don't know how they're going to hold her out, Gareth.
And in Melton, at Melton on Saturday night with the Australian Grand Prix, I agree with you with her, Adam. I think she's a star, Stylish Memphis. What she's been able to do since she's arrived here in Australia has been quite remarkable. But I found this Group 1 trotting race a tough race to sort out. Like Tornado Valley is the favourite, but he's got a second row draw. I guess Magic Cool's nearly the horse to beat, Dan, because of that front row draw.
Well, if he can get out from barrier 4 over 22.40 like he did in the Great Southern Star, you'd think he'd be leading here, wouldn't you? And he's got to be hard to beat. He's probably the each-way play. A few of these horses would have just freshened up from that Great Southern Star. Always Ready does get out very quickly, and I think he's much better in front. But Magical showed either he can do it in front or he's going to be lethal if he did take a trail behind Always Ready, guys.
Yeah, he's been really heavily back, Magical. As soon as the market went up, he was crunched. May even challenge for favouritism. So much early support has been for him, and he's drawn better. Look, we know the Tornado Valley story. It's pretty simple, isn't it? He's nigh on unbeatable when he draws to lead, and whenever he doesn't, he's vulnerable. But, Kate Gath was saying when I was talking about where she was going to drive that they are unbelievably happy with the way he's working at home. So the champ might be able to add another Group 1, but I reckon it's a ripper race, and the draws made it even more so with Tornado Valley off the back row. And let's not forget about Majestic Man. I mean, you know, he was a world beater four starts back, and everyone seems to have forgotten him.
Yeah, the second row draw hurts him a little bit, but I think that freshen up will do him the world of good, and he's getting out to ridiculous prices as we speak. Robbie Orber's best bet, thanks to the Victorian Harness Racing Club, is the Inform What's Up Majestic, race four, horse number one. Dan and Adam, your best bets over the weekend before we let you go?
Well, I found one, I think, at odds. I actually haven't checked out the prices, I hope it's not $1.80, but I'm tipping it will be good odds, and that's race five at Melton on Saturday night, number nine, And You. I just like this drop back to mare's grade. She's only a little thing, but she's experienced. She's going well. She trails out sleepy. I think she'll end up in the midfield to forward, and I think she's a terrific play. I presume she's going to be good odds.
She's $9, Dan. I can give you
$9. I thought she might have been longer.
Okay.
I'm deflated now.
All right, then, Adam.
Yeah, so I'm just recapping those couple that I mentioned on the run through. Max Delight each way, race three, number three at Menangle, and also at Menangle, seeing is believing for me. And in the ladyship, I've just got to go with Stylish Memphis. She comes into barrier seven. When the emergencies are out, she's got to settle closer than last time. And, you know, with all respect to these mares, I don't think they'll be going 148, which she had to go to try and beat Expensive Ego last week.
I think $3 is a good price. I think Max Shah will run a big race, and with Tough Tilly there on... I've got $41 now for Stylish Memphis for the Miracle Mile. I'll be taking
I'm tipping you'll be getting straight on, won't
you? Then. I've got to go. See you later, Adam and Dan. Time for a break here on RSN Central. We'll come back with our preview show for the Meadows.
Good on you guys.
See you.